fish place in Malay. Even though fish to
there.
Speaking about fish, I didn't know.
It's not big enough.
Maybe it brings some samples.
I don't know why they make everything so niche.
Okay, I didn't actually. It says practical demo. So maybe bring an octopus or. Who knows? Well, yeah, Romy, nice to see you. I spoke to somebody recently who's a relative of yours. I think, yeah, he bought a house, he bought a house in Hendon, Tenterden Drive. What's his name? Can't remember.
Maybe my brother.
One of Mechel's boys, yeah. Is there a Chaim?
Hey?
Is there a Chaim there?
Yeah, Chaim.
Could be. Could it be that he would have bought a house in Hendon?
Possibly,
yeah. He happens to be rather next door to Joey Joseph.
Yeah,
43. Yeah.
What? 43. Joe Joseph's 43, and this relative of yours bought number 45.
Could be Chaim also. He's got another son. Where
does he live now?
He's living in King's Close.
King's Close.
It's one thing to cure it, but the aftercare.
Okay, I think we're on, yeah? Are we?
It's how you get moving afterwards.
Yeah, it's late. Is this one running? Yeah, the music's still on.
That means it's waiting for you to just press.
You're being transferred. Okay. Good morning, Rabbi Sai. We're up to number 9 of the Asara Arugim Malchus. And B'l'Negda, tomorrow we'll do number 10, which is Erev Tisha B'Av. And then on Erev Shabbos, Yetzer Hashem, I will tell you something general about the Asara Arugim Malchus, which is even more mind-blowing, if it's possible to be more mind-blowing than what we've been discussing till now. No, on Tisha B'Av not. On Tisha B'Av we've got Shia, but I don't normally give the halacha beforehand. Anyway, maybe by popular demand, but not normally. So, Friday I've got something very interesting to tell you, Mirtz Hashem. It's all very interesting, but even this. Grada, out of the 9 of the Asura Arugim Malchus, according to the Medrash Eile Eskro, this number 9 is probably one of the least known. We only know him really from the Asura Arugim Malchus. We don't have Divrei Torah, Rabbi Yeshevov HaSoifer, Rabbi Yeshevov the scribe. And we don't know much about him at all. We don't have Mamori Chazal in his name or Halochas. He doesn't appear in Pirkei Avos like some of the other Arugim Malchus. But two things we know about him. Well, one thing we know about him, besides actually how he died, we know that we discussed already when we were talking about Rabbi Chutzpis HaMaturgamon, we said that Rabbi Yeshevov also lived in Tzipori, which was a Mokim Torah after Churban HaBayis, after the Churban HaBayis Sheni. A lot of Eden lived in Tzipori. Rabbi Yeshevov and Rabbi Chutzpis were hidden out together from the Romans in Tzipori. They were both caught together and taken to the prison in Caesarea to be executed together. So that was one thing that we learnt. And the other thing that I thought I didn't know was that it could be that Rabbi Yeshevov HaSoifer was called Rabbi Yeshevov HaSoifer because he was a Soifer, because he wrote the Divrei Torah, because he wrote the Sifrei, well, in those days it would be Tanakh. But besides that, there are Mefoshim who say about Ezra HaSoifer that he was called Ezra HaSoifer as in not writing Sofros, but counting. Right? Lispois Firas Oimer. Yeah, so he was counting the letters of the Torah, learning out Soidus HaTorah from Gematrius and from the letters and the arrangement of the words, etc., etc. That they said, some people say that Pshat in Ezra HaSoifer was because he was Medaik in the letters of the Torah in order to establish Halochas and to learn Pshatim, etc. And it could be then the Rabbi Yeshevov HaSoifer, possibly the same idea. It could be HaSoifer that he was called HaSoifer because he was counting letters. So it says as follows. La'achrov etzir Rabbi Yeshevov HaSoifer. He was the next one of the, as I said, number 9 according to Eile Eskro. Omro lovar Rabbi Yeshevov HaSoifer shoyim ben tishiv shono. He was 90 years old on the day when they brought him out to be killed. And when they brought him out, his talmidim came to him. And they said to him, Toyer amatahe oleinu, what's going to happen? If they kill you, what's going to happen to us? Omarahem Bonai, he said, I see the Torah lishtakach mi Yisrael. I'm frightened the Torah will be forgotten mi Yisrael. Lefish umar shah oazus ponim, arima soid, laabid magaloisa memenu, balavaisha yisi kapor al adoy. He says that the Romans are busy destroying Torah and destroying the Chachmei Torah, and I'm afraid that things are going to be very bad. He says, I'm going to be executed, alavai, that my execution should be a kapora al adoy. Aval ani roya, he says, she'en lecho roichav v'roichav sheberoimi. There's no street in Roimi. Okay. What? It should be Rechoiv. It says roichav v'roichav. I don't know why. Yeah, sheberoimi. She'en bo chalal cherev. There are dead bodies everywhere. Shasida Umar Sholishbech Dam Nokim Yisrael. And they said to him, Mate Oleinu, he said to them, Hachazek Ishbarehu, support each other. Voeve Sholom Mishpot, Ula Yesh Tikvo. If you support each other, Besholom Mishpot, maybe. Omlem Kesazer Bekama Shonimato. Now the Roman governor said to him, how old are you? He said, today is my 90th birthday. I understand that there was gzeira from when I was born that I am going to be biyodecha kdei litvoya domeinu miyodecha. Omale v'chiyesh olam sheni. Do you believe in the olam abo? Omale hein. V'ato oy v'avoy lebashtecha kishif adam chesidov miyodecha. Said there's an olam Moemes coming for me, which is olam abo. And there's an olam abo coming for you, the Kesar, and chas oivavoi, you're going to end up in Gehenna in bad way. Omar Kesar, ma lahogoi, he got very annoyed, and he said straight away, he said, kill him now, ve'era koyach ugvoros asher elakaizeh. Let's see how powerful his God is. Umayaseli ba'olam asheni, and I don't care what they'll do to me ba'olam asheni, tiva olov usrafuho. Shem yimkoi domoi.
Started at Torahway in Northwest London, Tuesday, Zion of 21st of July. Reina Rav Rav Shloime, Yitzchok, Bixen Spanner, Shlita, Rav of Hendon Adas. The fins and outs of kosher fish. This week's Torah has been sponsored by Nishmas, Ras Etel, Ras Abraham, Colonel Lesholem. Tiato is on Dalit of. Nishmas, our esteemed founder, Yosef Dov, Ben, Shimachovsky, Itzkovitz, the Kronoli Brokhov.
Warning, they smell fishy.
So today, Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to discuss the fins and the outs of the kosher fish. Now, as an hakdama, many people have asked me what's the shaychus of a shir on fish and the 9 days. So I told them, what do you mean? Pesach we eat matzah, Shavuos we eat cheesecake, and the 9 days we eat fish. So that's on the menu. So Avada, it's definitely in Yonah de Yoim. But the emes is, there's something much deeper. The Darkei Tshuva, which was the father of the Menchas Elozer, and part of the Sefer was authored by the Menchas Elozer himself, those parts that his father didn't manage to do, he brings down in Hilchas Dogim, in Yeridea, there's a whole Siman Pei Gimel, that discusses the halachas of fish. He brings a minig that Anshei Maise, people that were medagdik, b'kalika v'chamura, shein oichlin hamin dogim, they wouldn't eat the type of a fish. Now, to us it doesn't mean anything, because the big problem with fish is that there's no one name for a fish. You can have the same fish that has different names, and it could be very misleading, as we will see, which have caused many shilas and many problems throughout the ages. Today, it's a bit easier, because today, you send a picture, this is the fish, yes, no. In olden times, it was mipi ha-shmua, because by the time you sent the fish, we can imagine what it looked like, what it smelled like. Today, we have fresh fish out of the freezer, out of the fridge, and it smells fishy. You can imagine how much more so in olden times, especially the 9 days, no refrigeration. So, there was a minig that they wouldn't eat certain fish. And some only wouldn't eat it in the summer months of Tammuz and Av. So in other words, you have here a peladige heichatimta that, you know, if it's kosher, it's kosher, right? If it's kosher on Pesach, it should be kosher in the 9 days. No, it's kosher all year round, but Tammuz and Av, you're not supposed to eat it. That is such a minig, and he asks him whether there's a makar to it, and he says yes. And we will get to it, Be'ezus Hashem, and try to understand how could there be such a thing that a fish that's kosher, all of a sudden, because it's Tammuz and Av, it's not kosher. So this is another shaychus to the inyan of why we're giving the shir in this time of the year, because it could be that some of the fish that we're going to discuss may be affected by this minig, as we will see. Now, we'll start off with a controversy, right? That's what people like to hear. So, in the year Tov Tzadik Ches, which corresponds to 1738, so we're talking about a long, long, long time ago, almost 300 years ago, there were two meshulachim, as they were called, shlichei mitzvah, people that went around to collect for good causes. They came to London, and we have their names, but it doesn't mean anything. And they came from Venice, so they were Italian Jews, shomer Torah mitzvahs, from Elach Yidden, and they came to London, and they ate a certain fish which is called turbot. Turbot is this young fellow right here on the right side, and we will explain. And they claimed that back home it was eaten. In London, the minig was not to eat the turbot fish. Turbot is a tamei fish, as it is hayoim. Today, you can't get turbot fish in a kosher fish shop, and I must say, I tried asking a kosher fishmonger if he can get me one in the market. He said, no, he's not allowed to. In other words, even though if he would want to go and buy for himself, but because he would be allowed, but because he is under Hashgacha, he is not allowed to buy a fish that's not kosher. So I had to go to a non-kosher fish shop and get this turbot fish. So they ate the turbot fish.
They used to eat turbot in London until about the 40s and the 50s, and then it was decided it wasn't kosher.
That's in Amsterdam, that's in The Hague. In London, for many, many years, it was established that it's also. This goes back, the first chief rav of London, Rav Uri Feivish, he ushered it, and many, many that followed ushered it as well. What you're saying is true, but in The Hague. In The Hague, they had a minig to eat it, and even recently, there's a rav in Hague, Rabbi Myers, and he was the one who sort of stopped them from eating the turbot, but they would be eating the turbot, and we will explain. We'll have a closer examination, and we'll see what goes on. Now, what was their reasoning? Their reasoning was because in Italy, does anyone here speak Italian?
Not much.
What does rombo mean?
Rombo.
Rombo.
Rombo. No.
No.
I mean, photo.
Uh-huh. Okay, maybe that's in they bring, they said that in Italy there was a minute to eat the fish called rombo, and this is the rombo. The turbot is the rombo, as we said, different names, right, for the same face, and therefore they ate it, and there was a whole sharuria, mamish, the whole London was up in arms, and originally, so the Ashkenazi chief Rav, Rabbi Uri Feivish Hamburger, he's buried in the Olde Neves HaChaim, or at least there's a plaque about him. I don't know if they know exactly where, but he's definitely buried there. And he ousted it. And his contemporary, who was the Rav of the Sfardim, Rabbi Nieto, the son of Reb David, the Rav Yitzchak Nieto, who took over, originally he was martyred. And Rabbi Uri Feivish, you know, took him to task, and he said, you know, it does not have kaskasim, and we'll see. The reason what they argued was, because the Gemara says that even if it doesn't have kaskasim, you don't see them, but if you know that they had, while they were in the water, sometimes they shed the kaskasim as they come out of the water, there's ways to be boidikit, and he said that it's okay. But then, the two rabbonim, which, right, quite unique, they went together and they checked it out and they looked, you know, very carefully, and they both came to the conclusion that it does not have Simon and Tohirim, and therefore it was Asered. Now, as we said, in other places, in Holland, there were places where they ate it, and we'll bring some interesting tshuvas from later, much, much later, the Melamed Lahoyel, who was in Ashkenaz, but he writes about it. And basically, this whole Inyan has a makar in the Rishonim. So let's start with what we see in the Rishonim, in the Gemara, etc., etc. So there's a Tosfos in Masechtas Avodah Zarah Daf Mem, where the Gemara speaks about the simonim of Dogim Tohirim. So obviously, the Torah says, Snapir v'kaskeses, the fins and the scales, which is why the shear is called the fins and the outs of a fish. So that's, everyone agrees, there's no shaila. But then the Gemara brings other identifying simonim, which again, it's not a simon in the Torah, but it's, if it has that, then it's a simon that it's a kosher fish. So one of the simonim is, you check the eggs. So the eggs have what's called katchav, which is the same with bird eggs as well, that if it has, one side is round and one side is pointy, that's a simon that it's kosher. Now, there's a very big controversy or a big shaila about our eggs, because not necessarily do they always fit that criteria, but that's a discussion for a different time. So, Tosfos wants to say that simone beitzim, the simonim that the Gemara gives for the eggs, is it min ha-Torah or is it not min ha-Torah? So the Rabbeinu Tam said that it's min ha-Torah. He brought a raya from the Gemara that it's min ha-Torah. And therefore, locha lokach, yesh lahatir ha-burbut. Burbut. So we're not turbut yet, but we're almost there. Burbut, right? If you machalev the base and the tes, you're there. So the Rabbeinu Tam wanted to be matir the burbut. Why? Because of the simonim of the eggs. It doesn't have kaskasim, but it has the eggs are qualify and they fit their criteria, they tick that box. But then, Tosfos is mfalpul, other Rishonim argue that simonim lav deraisa. In the end, Tosfos says that even if we say that simonim lav deraisa, so you cannot rely on the eggs to kasher a fish, miu ein lesser haburbut, we can't ask the burbut ki emesi sheyesh levamayim umashirim b'shosh oidim minayam. In other words, forget about the eggs, but it still has the qualification of the kaskasim, the scales. We don't see it. It's there. It comes up. Now, the same nekuda we find in the Rosh, and this goes with a story about the Rabbeinu Ephraim. The Rabbeinu Ephraim, one of the Rishonim, he had a dream. And in the dream, they told him, you are eating shrotzim. And he woke up. startled. I'm eating shrotzen. Until he you know, realized that the message was about this burbot, that he was matir to eat the burbot, like the Rabbeinu Tam, right? Rabbeinu Tam, Milonu Godel. And he got a message from Hashemayim that it's a problem. Now, this opens up a whole discussion, Torim and Loi Bashamayim, and so on. But this is a story. And the Rosh brings this machloikis, whether burbot is kosher or not. And then he says that Rashi, he says, the Rashbam brings from his Zayde Rashi that burbot is a kosher fish. Rebbe Yehuda Achosid, who was one of the Rishonim, the Gedoyla Ashkenaz, Hasidei Ashkenaz, Omar, Kol mi sheyoichel barbuta lo yiske lecha livyoson. I did shorabor, but that won't be our shchita, right? So we'll have to eat fish, so we'll have a problem. So as is Dr. Ido Chosid, that if you eat barbuta, you will not be able to eat. You won't be zoich to eat the livyoson. And then he brings upam achas etira Rabbeinu Ephraim, va'omer loy b'chaloyim shehite shirotzim v'chozar boy. And he was chozer v'osroi v'chalapoysik milochloy, says the Hagos Ashri. Anyone that stops eating barbuta, even in the 9 days, yonuchu brochos al roshu. So we see that there's a whole shaila about this barbuta, and could be yes, could be not. Some rishonim hold yes, some rishonim hold no, and as we explain. Now, we have here a very interesting machloikis in minhogim benoigeya, different fish. Now, I'm sure the Olam is familiar with the halibut. Halibut is very good, expensive, and it's a very tricky fish because when you look at it, I didn't bring it. They have it in the shops. So it's flat skin, smooth skin. But if you take off a layer, the kaskasim are underneath, and then there's another layer of skin. There's another skin. Because the klal of kaskasim, the Ramos says, is only if it's niklaf, which means like a sirion, it's like a shield that you wear. It can be part of the body. So if the skin rips, to take off the kaskasim, the skin rips, that's not called kaskasim. So even though by the halibut you have to rip a skin, but there's still another skin underneath it. So the halibut is something that the minig in London and in other places in America as well, that you eat halibut, and it's very good. Now, halibut has the same words or part of it as the turbot. And then there's something called Steinbutt in German, which is again, the turbot is called turbot in English, but in German it's called Steinbutt. Now, there's a sefer called Hadar HaKarmel, which was written by a Rav, that was the Rovin Federation in the 1930s. He was here at the time when the Federation, you know, they were building and so on. But he was fed up with London, and he left. He went back to Germany. But he wrote many different svarim. And Stam Agav, a very interesting nekuda about this Rav Lerner, his name was Rav Meir Lerner. He ended up in Altona, in one of the biggest cities in Germany. What irked him was that one of the kehillas, who catered to, you know, to the entire Anglo Jewry, they accepted ashes of people that were cremated, had themselves cremated. They accepted it for burial in the Beis HaChaim. And this Rav Meir Lerner was loichem against this thing. He felt that someone that asked to be cremated doesn't deserve to be buried in a Jewish cemetery. And he wrote a letter to every Rav that had an address in the world. And he received many, many responses. I had a few Eltazaydes, Rabbonim, in Hungary, and there's tshuvas from them to to him answering back, not a long tshuva, it's a yes or no question. And it's for me, it was very choshev to see my Eltezaide's name in his sefer as an answer to his question. But he went to Mamash, Australia, South Africa, wherever there were Abonim who had an address, he sent him this shayla. And he was loichem against this Indian, and in part, that is why they started a different, the new Beis HaChaim in Edmonton, which was their first Beis HaChaim, was a lot because of this Indian. They felt that a cemetery Beis HaChaim that has these type of things, you know, people shouldn't go there. But anyway, so this Remeir Lerner, he writes that the Steinbot, which is the turbot, is a fish that they don't eat in Altona. Aval Oichlen dog hanikre halibot. The halibot is eaten in Altona. Uba Hamburg, he says, is punkt verkehrt. That they don't eat dog halibot, but they eat the Steinbot. And he wants to explain in Halacha, what is the machloikis? What's the machloikis toluon? So, But anyone that knows a bit of history, they made it into one kehillah, but it is what it isn't. Up to the Aruch Lener, the Rabbonim, everyone was buried in Altona, but later they separated, and there were times where part of it was part of Denmark. So yes, Ahu is Ivalo Moish of Loi, but at times, when he was there, and he was there in the 1930s, by the 1930s, it was already separate kehillahs. They separated. So what is the machloikah? So he brings something fascinating, Rabbi Sait. This is mamish mind-blowing, because you learn a Gemara, you learn a Rishonim, Tosfos, and it doesn't mean anything. And all of a sudden, this mamish comes to life. So there's a Gemara in Masechtas Avodah Zarah, which is the one we mentioned before, is Daf Mem. This is Daf Lamed Tes, where the Gemara speaks about different fish, and the Gemara says azoi. Shfar nuna shari. Nuna means a fish. Shfar is the adjective. So it's shfar nuna. Doesn't mean anything, right? But shfar nuna is mutter. Kadesh nuna osir. V'simonach kodesh lashem. Right? So you should remember which one. We have to remember what the name is before we remember which one. But that's what the Gemara says. And Rashi says, what's the remez of Kodesh Lashem? That Kodesh is Osir, right? Hadith is not allowed in the Hanim and Ha'egdish. So Kodesh Nun is Osir. Kum zu gein Toises. The Rabbeinu Chananu, punkt fakir. That Shvar Nuna is Osir. Kodesh Nuna is Shori. V'simonach, Kodesh. What's Kodesh Yisrael Hashem? Kloimer Hashem Hitiroi La'amot. So again, the same Gemara, the same Simon, but you can look at it two ways, which that's the beauty of Torah. Right? There's halalu matirin, halalu oisrin, and it's all the same Torah. Says Rav Meir Lerner, what is kodesh nuna? Holy bot. So according to Rashi, who says that kodesh nuna is osir, so the halibot is osir, so then the other fish must be the bebot, or whatever it's called, the steinbot. Right? But according to Torah in Chananel, that Kodesh is Mutter because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mater the Hegdish. So the Halibot is Mutter, and the other one is Osir. And then he says, Shamati Sheba Holland Oichlen Steinbot. He says that he heard it in Holland. And as I said, this is a fact that literally, up to recently, they would eat this turbot, they would eat in The Hague, until Rav Meir's did something about it. Now, let's try to understand and see whether there's enough kemina between the kosher fish and the non-kosher fish, as we will explain. So, but first we need to explain something about the Rambo. Right? Because these people came and said, Maestro Rambo, and right? So what is unique, or what is the common denominator about the halibut, the turbot, and many other fish which we brought here today? Now, in England, fish and chips really should have been the Shabbos meal, right? That's like the, right, the fish and chips. And they do bring that there was a time where this was like the delicatesse. This was like, I mean, even today, fish and chips is very, very common. It's the most common food in England is fish and chips. So, what do they use for fish and chips? They use mostly a fish called plaice, with an I in between, right? The A and the C. Now, what is a plaice? It's a flat fish. What's a flat fish? So a flat fish is a very interesting thing that the Rav Shlomo made at Teva, that it's created, it's born from an egg, like other fish, and it's born like any other fish. A fish, as we know, the two eyes are on the two sides of the face. That's what a fish is, right? Most people eat salmon, carp. So you have a head of a salmon, a head of a carp, right? Everything is symmetrical. A flat fish, for whatever reason, the Rav Shlomo made it that it is born as a fish, but then it settles on the bottom of the river or the ocean, whatever it is, and the eyes move because, right, if it's flat on one side, then one eye is towards the bottom. So the Rav Shlomo makes that the eye moves and both eyes come onto one side, and it doesn't look nice, so for Shidduchim, not recommended, but that's what it is, because that's called pragmatic, right? It needs to see with both eyes, so both eyes move to the side. Now, the way these flatfish, the first time I saw a flatfish from up close, so in America, Canada, I never heard these names, besides halibut, all the other names I never heard. But there we have a fish called flounder fish. Flounder is a very famous fish, and all the camps now in the summer, that's what they serve in the 9 days, and they make fish sticks out of it and not fish balls. It's also something I never heard till I came to England. But, you know, the flounder fish is a very, very common fish. So I once saw in an aquarium a flounder fish mamash up front, and it says, this is the flounder fish exhibition. There's no fish. I couldn't see a fish. And then I realized that only the eyes are out of the water, and it's totally covered in the earth, in the sand that's at the bottom of whatever it is. So it was in the bottom of its aquarium, but all you see is the two eyes. Now, because of that, this flatfish develops a very white skin on the bottom because there's no sun, right? It never sees the sun. So the top is colored, and the bottom is white. That is unique about a flatfish. Now, rombo means a round flatfish. Now, can you eat a flatfish because it's called a flatfish? And that's what happened, right? These mishlochim came and they said, we eat rombo, we eat flatfish. Okay, there are 7 or 8 types of flatfish. All of them are kosher besides one. And that's the turbot. And that is, more or less, what happened. Now, comes Reb David Feldman. He wrote Shimusha Shel Torah. He was a very, very pragmatic and practical Rav. Gevaldik, his sefer, the way he, you know, designs a mikveh and designs how to make a retzua, you know, the kesher shel tefillin, how to make a Shabbos belt. Very, very, very pragmatic. So he has, in his Sefer Shemusha Shel Torah, he has about fish. And he brings all kinds of different types of fish. As we know, the sharurias, the controversies that happen in Klal Yisrael about fish are many. There's the Noiti Bihuda was involved, Ramot Chabanet was involved. There were many different fish that were part of this problem. Now here comes a bomber from Rev David Feldman. Okay? So very quickly, this is a plaice. Now, if you take a look, I'm not going to open it unless we have someone that wants to volunteer. But again, if you can see here, you see how wide it is. You see here the two eyes. How this is the top side or one side, and it sat until it grew into this size. And you can see underneath how white the bottom is. And here you see the two eyes, which are on this side. Okay? I'm not sure which one is which, but these two fish are called sole. And one is lemon sole, one is Dover sole. And again, the same idea. You have the color, whatever color it is you have here. You see the scales, very clearly you see the scales. You take a look at the bottom. You can see here a bit how white it is in contrast to the top. And again, the two eyes are both on this side. And this is probably, if that's Dover, then this is lemon, or if this is lemon, this is Dover, but whatever it is, same idea.
Does a turbot have scales and fins?
So the turbot has fins. Fins is not enough, because there are many tomei species, including eel, that have fins, because what does a fin do? That's how it swims. So a fish that swims needs fins, right? And that's why the Mishnah says the Braisa kol sheyeshloi kaskeses yeshloi snapper, but not vice versa. So fins don't do much for the kashas of the fish. Now, so here we have another thing. See here. This is a bit smaller because, you know, for the shear, you need the smallest is enough, right? When you're going, you want to buy, you want to make fish and chips, the biggest. But here you can see how white the bottom is compared to the top. Mamash white, right? White like a ghost, right? Or a ghost is as white as this. And this one we can hold on to. So again, the bottom is white. Look how white it is. And this is dark. And the two eyes are on the side.
What is that?
What? This is a turbot. Now, a turbot, if you look at it, it almost, yeah, but it also has these things, when you feel it, anyone is welcome to do so, it has like things that are like a bit, a needle, like it has something. It's not totally smooth, right? So it's we can understand where they were coming from, right? You go and they bring that it has some like a bit spiky, a bit you know, it has like this thing. Says Rav David Feldman, let me give you a simon to know which flatfish is kosher and which flatfish is not. Okay, I want the oilam to tell me if they see a difference between this fish and this fish. So everyone's telling me, open the package.
It looks the same.
It looks the same, right?
I mean,
can anyone tell me, with a good eye, a difference between these two fish?
I can't see it, but I think the one eye has pink spots on it. No?
Pink spots is not a simon kashrus. It could be it came from afterwards. I'm asking the oilam, can you see the what?
Pointy.
The only thing that you do see by pointing is the poskim bring that a fish, a kosher fish, the tail is split. It has like to an arrow like that. No, anyone about side?
Color,
darker color.
Color is not. It could be changed.
The fins come out from the side.
No fins.
I mean, not they're not. Behind
no, fins the, are under the gills.
They're not behind the gills.
So he says, Azoy, Raboy Sai, you'll be blown away. Where are the eyes on this fish? Where are the eyes on this fish? Look, I'm holding two fish in each hand, and they're not what? No, this is on the left side. This is on the right side, right? If someone is holding a fish, like let's say for example, these two fish, right? If I would be holding it out of the package, they're not on the same side. The white side is looking at the colored side. And this fish, when I'm picking it up, the two dark sides are facing each other. Which means that the eyes, the two eyes that moved from, the one eye that moved from one side, it moved from the right to the left. And this one moved from the left to the right.
Kusher.
This is Kusher, yeah. And this is Tomer.
So it's mamash the fluas haboyre that that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us, even when l'chayre a person can say, look what a michshul can come out of this that you have. What? It's not treif. It's called it's tome, which means it's not a kosher fish. It doesn't have the simonim. It doesn't have kaskeses, because even though you have, it looks like kaskeses and it feels like kaskeses, but you would have to rip the skin to see it, and that's not called kaskeses. These have kaskeses, and as I said, someone can say, you know, such a michshul, right? The answer is, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us a very clear siman. The kosher fish, and again, there are about six or seven, I can confirm four, because the halavot is the same, that it's all on the right side. The eye from the left side moves to the right side, and it settles on its left side. And this fish settles on its right side, so the eye from the right side moves to the left side. And that's the only reason why, when you hold them, one after the other, they're facing each other, versus two kosher are not facing each other.
Do the kaskeses work? Do the kaskeses work? Is it visible to the naked eye?
No.
What?
Not to be visible, you have to be able to keep it off. Oh, I forgot to finish off why time was off, right? So, very quickly, there's a Tosfos in the Masechtas Makis. We're not going to go into the details, but it could be a fish that lives in the ground. Even if it's a fish, it's called a Sheret Hamayim because it's not swimming around. In times of, lakes would dry up, which means that the fish would have to really dig into the ground to stay alive, because the water was very, very shallow, and because of that, some held that it's a sheret. It's in the ground. It's not in the water, and that is the reason why. Now, I'm not suggesting that these fish live in waters that dry up. They probably live in lakes that don't dry up. But there are certain small fish. If you look in Tosfos and Makos stuff, Hazayin, that's where Tosfos speaks about it, and it could be that this fish that they bring from the Baal Shem Tov was a fish that was small and lived in these streams that dried up. So Tamuz Ov is a problem.
Same fish, just because it's at that stage, this particular fish, not the myth, this particular fish was buried in the ground, and that makes it awesome.
Yeah.
But these fishermen with the eyes sticking out, they're also in the ground, just the eyes are going out.
Yeah, yeah, but still.
Down the surface.
If there wouldn't be water, it could be a problem. There's a water.
The lake's mummies dry out.
They only have the marsh. Right. No, it's in the marsh. They live in the marshes. Yeah. Marshes is not mine. Right. It has water, so they can stay alive. But it's...
So they don't eat fish at all. I missed the beginning of the ship. They don't eat
certain type of fish, they're monea, hamas, and all.
Ah, the certain type. We don't know what they are. You know.
No, they're small little fish, nothing.
Sardines.
Not even sardines. Sardines.
Fascinating.
I had to keep checking on my phone because
I remember the place, and you were there. We had it in a regular basis. But the other one, my mother would have told me.
Is this a lie?
This is the deal or whatever.